What happened?
What?
What is that?
What's a peanut?
Why do you have a
food
peanut
stuff
on you?
I was eating peanuts.
What?
I love peanuts.
With your shoulders?
I don't have no idea where I got how it got there. I have a question for you. It's been a long time since we've had new music. We've been doing a lot of other special programs.
Lots of guest DJs, lots of traveling.
You feel like dancing?
How can...
Yeah.
Of course, that's not even a question.
Okay, check this one out. I knew I would get you dancing. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garth.
Dancing in her seat, dancing to the sound of Palenque Soul Tribe from Los Angeles.
So good.
This is called Africa is the Mother of the Beats. And as I said one time, if I ever get to Africa, I'm going to get on my hands and knees and kiss the ground. Because as they're saying in the background, where all the beat comes from.
So good. So good.
Palenque Soul Tribe's new album is called Mar. It was out on April 9. Two DJs from Los Angeles, Juan Diego Broda and a guy who calls himself Popa, Andres Erazo. They started out doing DJs, doing mixes, doing clubs, and little by little they started adding live instruments to the performances, Colombian percussion, accordions, gaitas. And then they just started making their own music, and now they're called Palenque Soul Tribe. I really like it. I really like the album.
Africa is the mother of the beat. Africa is the mother of the beat. Africa is the mother of the beat. Africa is the mom of the beat. I reminisce, dance to this, beautiful scenes, exotic chicks, lose yourself like there's no tomorrow. Got a red room, so no more sorrow. Life's like a road, so driving slow, cause you never know when it's time to go. Like a river now, still I flow, like a time bomb, here I go. Africa is the mother of the beat. Africa is the mother of the beat. Africa is the mother of the beat. Africa is the mom of the beat.
We're going to have to install cameras in the studio so they can see.
You like my moves?
You know, where NPR has relocated, we're in a brand new building. We're at the third week now, and the studios and the little production rooms are all very different, and they have these chairs
from, like, the Spanish Inquisition.
No, right now. These ones?
My new chair in my new cubicle is, like, a relic of the Spanish Inquisition.
But I'm talking about in the studio because you were just scooting across the studio here. Doing the beat to the Africa is the mother of the beat from the Palenque Soul Tribe.
So good.
It's a great, great song.
I also brought a dance track.
Let's hear it.
This is La Yegros from Argentina, from back home. This is Viene de Mí.
Viene de mí.
We're going to have to do a whole show on cumbia pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because this is, it just keeps coming up. This, of course, is a new record coming out. It hasn't been released yet. Tell us a little bit more about it.
This is La Yegros from one of our favorite record labels ever, which is ZZK in Argentina. And ZZK does a really good fusion of cumbia, folk, and electronica. Now, you know, the thing with cumbia is, at this point, por cumbia is being kind of beaten to death by hipsters with a Manu Chao complex. I mean, it's just really... It is. It's really being overdone a little bit. But ZZK is just, I mean, you know, it's doing it really well. And they do this South American cumbia, this chopped and screwed and mixed with electronica really, really well. Now, ZZK used to be kind of a boys club, you know? Mm-hmm. It was all guys, all dudes. And you were just like, really? There's not a single lady you want to include in your roster?
And
but
they found one.
They found La Yegros. And this is an album that comes out in June. Do you dance cumbia?
Oh, yeah. I dance cumbia better than anything else because it was so popular in the Mexican-American community going back to the 50s, coming out of Mexico, that my aunts, my tías, Dolores and Teresa, they showed me and my brothers how to dance cumbia. So when we would go to family parties, we can go out there and bust our moves.
Yeah. Now, cumbia, who was it that told us? Was it Gustavo Arellano who said to us when he was on our show that cumbia is like the lingua franca of Latin America? Because it's not that hard to dance. I mean, it's kind of,
right,
there's a basic two-step and... It's not like merengue where you can there's a potential to really make a fool of yourself.
Or hurt yourself.
Yeah, or hurt somebody. I mean, because cumbia is like that, it's like the beat is very simple, right? It's punk, Merengue literally, you know, there's a reason why merengue sounds like meringue. It's so fast that it has that word to describe.
With the scratcher, the wheedle, and the tambor.
And it's that fast because they were used to say this is like beating eggs until it's a foam.
Okay, let's move on. Keeping it mellow, this is one of your tracks. What do you have?
This is Luna Lovers by Las Cafeteras from our beloved California.
Love it. Here we go.
My heart met yours. You touched my soul. It's I love you.
These guys have really stepped up their game. I really like this album.
Right?
Yeah. And the combination of the son jarocho, the Mexican son jarocho.
Which
and
is that, I mean, one of the elements that you're hearing is that kind of tap dancing. That's the el zapateo, which is, you know, they get on like this wooden platform.
And they dance.
Right. And that's what you're hearing. Yeah.
That's that they approximated that within the song. But also just that vocals. It's almost like a... like an Americana alt country. It's
right?
Like, yeah, it's very, very nice. These guys really just, there's very few jarocho bands coming out of California that I don't like.
Well, I love jarocho. I mean, last year I just fell in love with this type of music, with song jarocho.
And I brought the band in Electro Jarocho from the Bay Area, those guys from Oakland.
And there's another band called Radio Jarocho
that's right.
I'm infatuated with them. That, well, this song, I mean, it's a beautiful love song, but they also reinterpreted it. They shot a video of them singing it acoustically for in dedication of this girl, Diana Blanco, who is 17, and she's a deaf girl who lives in Arizona in Maricopa County, and in an immigration raid, her mother and grandmother and grandfather were picked up and are scheduled to be deported. And so, you know, just very alienating for this girl who's deaf, who, you know, how she's going to get by. And so they reinterpreted this song for this girl.
Hats off to them for doing a beautiful song, but then also attaching it to something important to talk about.
Well, and I think there's something very beautiful about a song that, you know, at first, when you first hear it, it could be a love song, like romantic love. But to just say, you know, there's a lot of types of love that have the same intensity, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. A very important song from a very good band who we're very, very fond of. But you brought something else that also has a bit of a social meaning to it.
Well, next up, we're going to listen to something off of La Vida Bohème's brand new album, which is called Será. I want to let our listeners know that we're doing a first listen of this album this first week of May.
Which means that you'll be able to stream the entire album and get a preview before it's released next week on our website at npr.org/music.
And it's really a gorgeous album. I mean, I have not been this excited about a band since Café Tacuba or Calle 13. I just think this band has so much heart and so much talent. I keep listening to this record and I keep thinking of 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel García Márquez.
Really?
Well, because 100 Years of Solitude, you know, which is the quintessential Latin American novel, it's about a family's saga, and it's their stories, their funny and tragic stories, but it's really the Bible of the history of Latin America. It's a metaphor for the history of Latin America and Colombia. And in a similar way, you know, these are all very beautiful songs and stories, but it really feels like this opera prima of not just what's happening in Venezuela, but what is happening in all of Latin America right now. And it's just a ridiculously good album.
The name of the album?
Será. And this track is called La Bestia.
Una bestia guarda de cerca mi corazón y se encarga de que yo no vaya a un lugar mejor. Me mantiene bien cerca, nunca me da respuestas. Me ata una soga al cuello y me abandona al sol.
Al sol.
Cerca mi corazón y sabe que escondo una semilla negra de ambición. Me deja la reja abierta para verme intentar sin fuerzas. Sabe que aunque yo lo quiera, no la puedo abandonar. Jamás.
We mentioned before the song, this could be a very, this could be a track about anything. I mean, the lyrics are talking about, you know, I have the seed of ambition in my heart, but there's this beast that is always watching me, who leaves the door a little opened just to watch my weak efforts to try and leave and get ahead. And it could be about anything. It could be about drug addiction, it could be about a horrible relationship. But because the album is so political, and because it was created during this very tumultuous time in Venezuela, I totally interpreted this as being about oil dependency. You know, this beast that is that is always next to you. And I might be completely wrong. You know, maybe the band will contact me.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because a lot of times musicians will write the songs and it's up to the listener to interpret and make their own conclusions and draw their own conclusions. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a literal interpretation. Maybe they wrote it a little bit vague so that you can put your own interpretation on it. I really like that idea.
I think it was Borges, Jorge Luis Borges, who, the Argentine writer, who said that once you give birth to a literary work, it stops being yours. It's no longer yours. It's the public's. And I think the same happens
with
music.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, we should have people write in on our website at npr.org/altlatino. What is your interpretation of the album and of the song? Since we're doing a first listen, just listen to the album, listen to the song, tell us what you think. And now let's move on to another song. We're going to completely change.
I was at an LGBT event recently, and the youth speaker said something that I more or less agree with.
What was that?
There are very few problems in this life that you can't fix with some glitter.
This sounds like a cue for some music.
This is Cada Vez Más Cerca by María Magdalena.
Oh,
Okay, you know, I will. You, I think
take
it,
a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Take a deep
I
breath.
I think our listeners
take
know.
Take off the spandex.
I think our listeners
unitard.
Know that I just have a hard time with music from that era. It's the 80s. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the music for so much of that style is so heavily processed, so heavily synthesized. There's very little human factor to it other than these processed vocals. So that was the problem I had with it back then when I was living through it.
For 10 years.
Because I was listening to a lot of jazz, acoustic jazz, listening to a lot of Grateful Dead. There's a lot of emotion in that stuff, and it's a complete opposite of what this stuff is. But you, I have to say, you are bringing me back around, and I'm listening to it with a different ear. And I think a lot of these guys are coming at it from a point of reverence and picking the best of it from that era. More open ears this time around.
Well, I guess you can get saturated with anything, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even with synthesizers.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I mean, believe it or not, you can have too much spandex.
I don't have any spandex.
But, okay, that...
We don't need to go okay. there.
But, you know, I mean, it's kind of weird that what you're mentioning about the 80s, it has happened to me a little bit with cumbia.
Oversaturation.
Well, it's a genre that I revere and that I've come around to love and I have a nostalgia for. And now literally everyone and their tía has a cumbia band. I'm getting a little saturated with it. It's still done well by many people, but I am, you know.
Getting a little, almost there.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
This next track I brought in is something I think we both like. This is a track called Toca Flute, and it's from an album called Turntables on Las Ramblas, and it's compiled by this DJ named Nico Damus. All that to say is that this album is a collection of things that this producer, Nico Damus, has heard while living in Barcelona. It's part of a series of albums that they're going to do. There's going to be turntable compilations, turntables on the Nile, turntables on Lima, turntables on the Caribbean. This one, Toca Flute, from the album Turntables on Las Ramblas. What's fascinating to me about this particular track is that even though it has all these other different rhythmic elements, this flute part is very traditional, and the best flute stylings, the best flute playing in these traditional settings is that you use maybe 3 or 4 notes. You know, there are 8 notes you can choose from, but it's these guys who are masters, they use like 3 or 4, maybe 5, and it's the way they arrange them. It's
very
the way
minimalist.
Oh my gosh, and that's what this particular track brings out. I really like this track. Original rubber dub style. You can hear this track and all the others that we played on today's show on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, where the conversation continues, as do the pictures of Felix dressed in spandex.
Oh, that'll be the day. Don't forget to listen to All Latino Radio 24/7 at npr.org/music. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garz.
This has been New Music All Latino.
Speaking of the 80s, have you seen my hair?
Oh, my God.
It's a little poofy.
It's nice, huh?
Yeah, works. I think your style is rubbing off on me.